Okay, we're on page 410, Perek Chaf Pasuk Yud Beis. We should have the kids, all the kids should be here at this class tonight. Mm-hmm. Learning the mitzvah of honor your father and mother. Yaakov Yehuda, you can stay. Okay. Just before we start Kabbalah the Sevicha V'Simecha, we know that in the Ten Commandments, the first five are between man to God, and the second five are between man to man. Okay. Which in itself shows that you cannot be complete between man to God if you're not complete between man to man. You cannot be complete between man to man if you're not complete between man and God. And that's why God did give the Ten Commandments five and five to show the total picture of a Jew is when you're good between man and God and you're good between man to man. People think that you could be very good between man to man without being good in the mitzvahs between man and God. They say, listen, I'm nice to a fellow human being, why do I have to be nice to God, so to speak? Why do I have to do mitzvahs? Which is incorrect. And the reason why it's incorrect is very simple. Because when a person is dealing with other people, any way you look at it, and we elaborated this, but I'm mentioning it now as far as this particular commandment of honor your father and mother. When a person normally deals with other people, by nature, even according to halacha, I come first. You know, the Gemara says, if you're dying in a desert, there's one loaf of bread and one jug of water, you know, you come first. You don't have to give it to your friend, you can take it first. So, by nature, I come before you. That's human nature. I'm more important than you. The only way a person could really be good between another human being is when they put the other person before themselves. That is the ultimate way of being a good person, is when you put the other person before me. That, you can only get trained of doing that if you have the mitzvahs between man and God. For instance, when Hashem gives us a mitzvah, don't eat, let's say, chazer. Okay, I want to eat chazer. Hashem says, don't eat chazer. So how do I keep that mitzvah? I put God before me. Because if I put myself before God, I'm going to eat pig. Because that's what I want. So how can a person keep a mitzvah that exists between man and God? It's only by putting God before ourselves. When a person becomes trained, so to speak, in that type of lifestyle, that not everything I want do I get. Not everything I want to think can I think. Not everything I want to say can I say. Not everything I want to do I can do. Or for that matter, the Torah says, certain things I don't want to do I have to do. I might not want to pray, and the Torah says you got to go pray. So what happens from all that? The person trains themselves that they go before, that something else comes before them. God comes before me. If a person is trained with that attitude, then when it comes to another human being, it's easier to put somebody else before me. Because I don't always come first in my lifestyle, because God always comes before me. So to put another person before me is also not something which is outrageously crazy. So therefore, when Hashem gave the Ten Commandments, God gave the first five and the second five. First five deal between man and God. Second five deal between man and man. Then you have other people that say, listen, I only want to be religious between man and God. Other people, I'm going to cheat and swindle and lie and, you know, be mean and all that. Torah says, then you're not religious between man and God either. In order to be religious between man and God, you have to be religious between man to man. If you want to be religious between man to man, you can only do that if you're religious between man and God. Now, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. So the question is, why is that between man and God? It's between man to man. Honoring your father and mother is really a mitzvah between man to man. It's to your parents, your father and mother. It's not God. So why is the fifth commandment, which is in category one, in the first column, of between man and God, why is the mitzvah of honor your father and mother mentioned? So the commentaries discuss this because the Gemara says, by respecting your parents, you respect God. Why is that?
Hey, lower your voice.
Tell him, God.
Why is that? The Gemara says, there's three partners in the creation of a human being. The father and mother give the body, they produce the body, and God produces the soul. So the third partner is really God. So God is saying, by honoring your parents, you're really honoring me, because why are you honoring your parents? Why are you honoring your parents? Simply, logically, because they brought you into the world. So by honoring parents, you're recognizing the fact of your existence. So that is recognizing God also as the third partner. So it's really part of the mitzvah of honor your father and mother. The Medrash says that when God said the first four commandments, so the kings of the world, the human king said, this God is not any different than us. He's only interested in his own glory. I am God, your God. Don't have any other gods. He's just like us. When it came to the commandment that God said, honor your father and mother, they said, oh, now we can understand that God is great. He's not only interested in himself, he's interested in you know, the decency of honoring the father and mother.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
I think there's everybody here has honored their fathers and their mothers, Baruch Hashem.
We will soon see that nobody did it.
Well, because when you grow up and you find out that your father is a mafia gangster or your father cheats all over businesses, I don't care if he goes to what, synagogue or church or whatever, and you... I know buddies of mine and who didn't honor their fathers because they were mafia gangsters.
And that's what I'm going to tell you. That's why you. This is where you're wrong.
This where I'm what?
Wrong. You're here.
I'm here, so I'm wrong.
No.
Oh, why here?
Here. Listen. When God says, there are many people today that think that when the Ten Commandments, or any mitzvah that matter, are logic, we do them because they're logical. Therefore, when the logic doesn't apply, you don't have to keep them. That's the way people think. For instance, you have very popular psychologists today that say, if, let's say, your parents gave you up for adoption, and somebody else adopted you, and, you know, they raised you, so their biological parents are not your parents. Because they're sperm donors, so to speak. They were the ones that created you. But who are your parents? The ones that raised you. Therefore, who do you have to honor? Only the ones that raised you. Not the ones that gave birth to you. That is the logic in amongst prominent psychologists and therapists in today's world. Or, like you mentioned, if somebody has a father who is a mafia and cheats and does everything wrong, so logic says, why should I honor him? He's, you know, no good. He's a low life. He's no good. I have no reason of honoring him. That is only correct if you say that the Torah says, honor your father and mother, because that's logical. The Torah doesn't say, honor your father and mother because they raised you and they stayed up at night and they diapered you and they fed you and they were nervous about you and you made them crazy and sick and all that. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says a statement. Honor your father and mother, period. The Torah doesn't say why. So even though we might understand the reason of it, but that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is honor your father and mother, period. So according to Halacha, by the way, if somebody was born to parents who gave them up to adoption when they were a week old, and they were raised by other people, the Torah says as follows. The halacha is the biological parents you must honor. That's the Ten Commandments. You have to honor your father and mother. Your adopted parents, you have to honor because you have to be a mensch. But they're not your parents. They're not your father and mother. Your father and mother, the one that gave birth to you. You have to be a mensch. They raised you. They took care of you. They did everything for you. Their whole life they gave you. You have an obligation to respect them also. But not as the mitzvah of Kabbat Zavich of Asimecha. Kabbat Zavich of Asimecha is a mitzvah of absolute. You do it because God said so. And therefore, there's another reason why it's one of the first five. Because Kabbat Zavich of Asimecha is a mitzvah between man and God. Just between man and God, there's no reason you do it because God said so. All Ten Commandments, really. We don't not steal, not because it's morally wrong to steal. We don't kill because it's morally wrong to kill. That's absolutely wrong. Because in all these mitzvahs, where it will be morally right to kill, then people go around killing people. I'll give you an example, and you don't have to go too far in today's world. You have people that say, for instance, Hitler, Yimach Shemay, said it was a mitzvah to kill Jews. The Muslims, many of them, the Meshugayim, think, if you're not a Muslim, it's a mitzvah to kill you. That's it, it's a mitzvah to kill you. They're not stupid people. They're not idiots. I mean, they might act like idiots, but they're intelligent people. Hitler, I'm sure, was a brilliant man. You know, the Meshugayim over here are a brilliant man. And I don't think Osama bin Laden's a fool. He must be a brilliant guy. But they come along and say, it's morally right to kill. Or it's morally right to steal. Only said many times, the Robin Hood, the classic Robin Hood, to steal from the rich to give to the poor. Robin was a hero. Torah says, Kabbat Zavich of Asimecha is an absolute. It's not because of any other reason. And all the mitzvahs of the Torah, Torah says you could try to understand it, you could try to make rational to it. But even where your rationale, where your seichel, where your intellect doesn't demand it, the Torah says, tough luck. You have to honor your father and mother anyway.
For those of us, Rabbi, that we did not honor our father and mother, if we ask them for machilah and they forgive us, so by Torah, Allah,
then forgiven. You're forgiven.
And if they don't forgive you?
You have to keep asking forgiveness. I'll give you an example. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, he quotes a different medrashim about this mitzvah. It sounds easy, honor your father and mother, yeah? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, the most difficult of all mitzvahs is honor your father and mother. Rabbi Yechanan said, and you have to understand, Rabbi Yechanan was a very holy tzaddik. There's a famous Gemara in Kedushin. Rabbi Yechanan said, fortunate is one that never had parents. Rabbi Yechanan himself, the Gemara says, when before he was born, after his mother was pregnant with him, his father died, and his mother died when he was born. So Rabbi Yechanan was raised, in Yiddish it's called a kaila chayosim, a double orphan. One second. He was raised without a father and a mother. And Rabbi Yechanan said, fortunate is a one that doesn't have a parent. Why? Because whoever has parents can never live up to the biblical obligation that they have to honor parents. In addition to the fact, the Gemara says, and Halacha brings down, not only, by the way, is it a mitzvah to honor parents during their lifetime, you have a mitzvah of honoring them even after they pass away. That's one of the concepts of saying Kaddish is in honor of the parents. Anything that a child could do which disgraces the parents, even if they're dead already, but people say, oh, look at this child which was raised by these and these people, yeah? And it's a degrading type of a thing. It's not honoring your father and mother. If people will do things, in fact, it's interesting. If you look in Chumash, Rivka, and by the way, Esav had an unbelievable amount, as wicked as he was. The Gemara is going to say soon. Esav had an unbelievable amount of honoring father and mother. Yet, if you notice in the Chumash, it speaks about Sarah's death. It speaks about Rachel's death. It doesn't say in Chumash clearly about Rivka's death. Yaakov heard that Devorah died, so Rashi says in the Medrash that at that same time he was told that Rivka died. Why? So it says in the Medrash, why doesn't the Torah mention Rivka's death? Because Esav was such a gangster and had such an awful reputation. Hashem doesn't want to say that Rivka died because people would curse her for look what type of son she had. So the mitzvah of honoring parents is a mitzvah during the lifetime and even after pass away. What did you want to ask?
If that Rabbi Yochanan,
yeah,
how can you say something if you never had the opportunity to experience?
That's what he's saying. He said based on the mitzvah of what the Torah demands from honoring parents. He says, though, what the Torah demands. I'll read you a story.
I see what you're saying.
Here, Reb Tarfon's mother. The Gemara tells the Gemara in Kedushin has a few pages about the story of Kibbutz Av Va'Em. It's a very interesting Gemara in Kedushin. You can read in English. A lot of the Gemara says, how far does the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Va'Em go, of honoring a father and mother? The Gemara tells a story that Reb Tarfon was a colleague of Rabbi Akiva. His mother was once walking in a courtyard one Shabbos day. Her shoe tore and came off. So Reb Tarfon ran over to his mother and put his hand underneath her feet, that when she stepped, she wouldn't have to step on the ground without shoes. She stepped on his cushioned hand. So later on, Reb Tarfon became ill. Many years later, Reb Tarfon became ill. And the mother came to the rabbis and said, pray for my son. He gives me such great honor. He honors me, so he has, you know. The rabbi said to him, even if your son would do 1,000 times more than he did, he wouldn't even have half the mitzvah of what the Torah demands.
So what are you supposed to do?
1 minute. What we're supposed to do, what we don't do. Then it says, Reb Shimon Gamliel said, this is a very interesting Gemara. Here he quotes some of the Gemara, but it's a very few-page Gemara in Kedushin. Reb Shimon Gamliel said, I served my father all my life, but I did not extend to him even 1/100th of the respect Esav gave Yitzchak. He said, I would serve my father even in soiled clothing. And when I went out to attend my affairs, I would change to clean clothing. Esav, whenever he came to serve to Yitzchak, he dressed up in royal garments. This is Esav, this Russia that went around adultery, idolatry, and murder and everything under the sun. Rav Abu said, my son Avimi fulfilled this commandment. If you hear it, these Gemaras, you look at the kids today, or all of us included. Avimi had 5 sons, okay? Yet, when his father Rav Abu would come into his house, Avimi, instead of sending his kids, he would run himself to the father. One time, Rav Abu, the father of Avimi, said to his son, bring me a cup of water. And he asked him for a drink. When the son came to the father to bring him a cup of water, the father dozed off. Yeah? What did he do? He waited next to the father, holding the cup of water in his hand, until the father woke up.
Can't you close it on the floor?
He didn't want to. Today's kids would throw it in the father's face and say, hey, look what you made me do when you're sleeping. You know? But he waited with respect over his father until the father was woke up.
But isn't it hypocritical to commit adultery and kill and then say, I respect my father? How do you explain this on the level of Esav, who in the life of Yitzchak and Rivka humiliated them?
You sound like the guys that when you go put on tefillin on people, they ask you, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Yesterday I didn't put on tefillin. Tomorrow I'm not going to put on tefillin. I don't keep Shabbos. I don't keep kosher. Why should I put on tefillin? I'm going to be a hypocrite. What's the answer?
It's a little bit true.
It's 100% not true.
Why?
Because yesterday I wasn't a nice guy. I mean, I shouldn't be a nice guy today.
No, but a nice guy, it also has to be...
Every day, every mitzvah is separate. It's not all or none. Judaism is not all or none.
It's a completely departmentalized.
And one of the reasons why Yaakov, when he came back, and he heard Esav was coming, and he was afraid of him, yeah? Why was Yaakov afraid of Esav, the Medrash says? One of the reasons? Because Esav had the mitzvah of honoring his father and mother that Yaakov didn't have because he wasn't home. And the Torah says, you do that, you live long. So Yaakov was afraid, even though Yaakov knew Esav was a Rasha, okay? And Yaakov was a tzaddik, right? Even in Laban's house, he kept mitzvahs. Yet, he understood that Esav had a mitzvah that's so great that he didn't have. And because of that, he was afraid of him.
So, first of forget Esav and Yaakov. You see one today, a guy that you know, he's a Rasha, but when he's with his father at a shul, he honors him. So you would say, oh,
good is good. Great. No, good is good and bad is bad. Okay, that means in this mitzvah you have to learn from the person. Okay.
Means we don't judge him. Hashem judges him.
Right, that's God's business. Judging people is God's business.
No, I know.
But if we see somebody that's not, is he completely not religious, yet he has unbelievable honor for parents, okay? In that respect, the person is great. In that particular mitzvah. And it's a lesson that we have to learn, how to conduct that mitzvah. All the other mitzvahs the guy doesn't keep. So from that, you don't learn.
This is okay, but when you say when you compare something to a crime, an adultery, an abuse,
it's nothing.
Too extreme.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
What about Avraham Avinu with his father? I guess he was like a father. Isn't that somewhat of a conflict?
No, because the halacha is that even if your father sins, you have to be respectful to him. Meaning, the Gemara says, it's brought down in Halacha, that somebody sees their father sinning. You're not allowed to say, hey, look what you're doing, you sinner. You're not allowed to do that. You have to come to them and say, didn't we once, like in a passive way, didn't we once learn that you're supposed to do this and this and this? But you never are disrespectful to the father, even at the time he's sinning. Because you still have a mitzvah of honoring your father and mother. And that's what, in fact, the Gemara says, Rav Yosef said when he heard his mother come into the room, Rav Yosef said, let me arise, let me stand up for the Shechina. Do you know, according to Halacha, I know today you tell this to American kids, they'll think you're nuts. Do you know, according to Halacha, your parents walk into the room, you're supposed to stand. That's honoring your father and mother. There's a mitzvah, ish imo v'avtiro, you have to fear parents. There's a mitzvah, honoring, two distinct mitzvahs. In the Ten Commandments, the Torah says, kabed asavicha v'asimecha, honor your father and mother. In Parshas Emor, Parshas Kedeshim, it says, ish imo v'avtiro, each man has to fear his father and mother. So there's fear and respect, honor. And the Gemara says clear, what's the difference? Honor means you feed them, you clothe them, you stand up when they walk into the room, you give them respect. Fear is you show awe, meaning you don't contradict their words, you don't sit in their seat. Do you know, according to Halacha, it's forbidden to sit in your parents' designated seat. You're not allowed to, unless if they give you permission. The reason why in the religious circles, kids don't stand up when parents walk into the room, is because we assume the parents say, you know what, it's okay, you could sit. But according to Halacha, kids have to stand up when a parent walks into the room. You know, years ago, when parents would come schlepping packages, the kids would run and take away the packages from the parents. Today, when the kids schlep packages, the parents take it away from the kids. I've seen myself a parent stand up and give a kid a seat. I'm not talking about a little baby. What is he, retarded? What is he, crazy? You have to teach a kid that they have to respect the parent. It's not that the parent needs it, by the way. It's not that I could care less if my kid sits in my seat or not. I couldn't care less. But the kids have to know that there's an obligation of honoring and revering parents. It's a very important mitzvah. In today's American world, it doesn't exist, and it's a very big problem. You know, they say they have, there's a song, Yom Tov Erlich, goes, you know, it's before Shavuos, there's a whole story of God coming to all the nations of the world and asking if they want the Torah, you know. So he goes, the whole story, he goes to Germany, there's a whole Yiddish song, Avram Fried sings it, it's a beautiful Yiddish song. He goes to Germany, and Germany says, what does it say? And he says, I am God, your God. He said, go fly a kite, I'm not interested. You know, we're God, we don't need any other gods. He goes to Paris. He said, what do you want the Torah? Paris said, what does it say? He says, no adultery. He says, are you kidding? French. You know, anyway, he goes to the Americans. The Americans say, what does it say in the Ten Commandments? It says, honor your father and mother. You say, you're kidding? We only respect the youth. We have enough Father's Day and Mother's Day. Once a year is enough for them. Don't give me the smitzvah of Kabi de Sevicha Vesimecha. You know, I'm not interested in the smitzvah. But it's a very important mitzvah in all aspects of it. In fact, the Gemara says that Hashem's, and this again a reason why it's in the first five, even though it's Bein Adam L'Chaveri, because God says, anybody that honors parents, I dwell amongst you. God's considered, because then you recognize the third partner in this. Okay, then he also says that what's the logic, what's the Torah logic? Not the only reason we do the mitzvah, but the Torah logic is they brought you into the world. That itself demands respect. Even though you're angry that you were born, you know, the kid that sued his parents for having them. There was a lawsuit in Florida. A kid...
15 years ago.
Huh? 15 years ago. Yeah, I remember the lawsuit. A kid sued her parents. I think it was a her.
Get emancipated.
Did he win?
No, he wanted to divorce her.
No, that sick the system is not yet. Okay, then... Now there's one more interesting. There's a lot more interesting to. We're not done yet, but over here the Torah says, "Kabeit es avicha ve'es imecha." Honor your father and mother. First father, then mother. When it comes to fear, the Torah says, "Ish imo va'aviv tiro." Each man should fear the mother and father. So the Gemara asks, why by honor does the Torah say first father and then mother, and by fear? The Torah says first mother and then father. So the Gemara explains, it's brought down in a lot of the commentaries, the mothers feed the kids and clothe the kids and they take care of the kids, you know. So kids by nature would like to honor the mother more than the father. So the Torah says, Kabed esavicha ve'esimecha. You do your father first and then your mother. Because you want to do the mother first, so I'm telling you, do the father first. When it comes to kids fearing the parents, who are you afraid of more? The father. So the Torah says over there, first mother. Ish imo v'aviv tiro. First fear your mother, then your father.
Rabbi.
What?
Isn't it the same? Fear
and no.
You know I coached a lot of black
people. I know, so let's make it quick.
Wait a moment.
I know it already.
But change what you're saying. Because half of them, and I'm talking of 21 years of coaching them, half of them didn't have a father. The father left them, or they never got married to their mother.
But they don't know who they are.
And how can you tell a kid like that, honor your father and your mother? How can I have no father. I had the hell with my father. He ran out on us.
Well, you still have to honor him. If they know who he is. If they know who he is. If they don't know who he is, again. Then...
why it's et avicha and not avicha? Why there is et?
Oh, so the Gemara asks, why does it say, kabit es avicha vesimecha? This you're not going to like. Oh, well, it depends who. Es avicha includes an older brother, and esimecha includes an older sister.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have to respect your parents, you have to respect the older sibling.
The same way?
Not the same way, but it depends. There's a whole argument. Does it mean any older sibling or only the oldest sibling?
Brothers always fight.
And also, by the way, Es Avicha and Es Imecha includes also step-parents. In other words, Es Imecha means not only your mother, but if your mother, let's say, remarries, so as long as your mother is alive, you have a halachic obligation, you must honor the stepfather. Even after she dies, let's say, God forbid, and the stepfather is still alive, it's proper to respect him. But all these are included in the word S. You know, you have to respect in-laws, you have to respect, this is all included. But obviously a person's father comes before a stepfather. You know, because that's biological.
So S is the...
And also, another thing it includes... S is inclusive. Es Avicha includes your grandfather. Es Imecha includes your grandmother. That means you have a halachic obligation to honor and respect your grandparents. And it's interesting, by fear, it doesn't say ish es imo ve'es aviv. It says ish imo ve'aviv tiro. Fear is only father and mother. One second. Honor, you have to respect grandparents. But, halacha says, what happens, okay, I'm going to say this, there are not too many women here today. What happens?
It's enough.
Three is enough.
There's two.
Three is a crowd.
Three is a crowd.
There's one behind us.
And we got the real, the vocal ones here. There's a din in the Torah. What happens if your father tells you one thing and your mother tells you something else? Who do you listen to?
Your father.
Psh. So the halacha is, you have to listen to the father. Why? Don't let it not go to your head yet. Why? It's harder. Because he hits harder, you better listen. So the answer is, you have to listen to the father first. Why? Because the mother also has a wife has an obligation to respect the husband too. So therefore, what happens, Lamashul? What happens? What happens? What happens though if the parents are divorced, God forbid, that the mother doesn't have to listen to the
husband
because it's not a husband anymore? Then you can listen to either one you want. But yet the din is, what happens if your parents tell you to do something and your grandparents tell you to do something else? So over there, there's a logic to say, my parents have to listen to their parents, so maybe I should listen to the grandparents? Over there, the halacha is no. Because your parents, you have more obligation to respect than the grandparents. So if there's a difference between parents and grandparents, you listen to the grandparents. It depends who spoils you more. To the parents rather than the grandparents. But the Gemara tells an interesting story. The Gemara says, and it's a very famous story, the Gemara says, why don't you go see how far the extent of honoring your father goes? So the Gemara says we can learn it from Dama ben Asina, who's a goy, a non-Jewish guy in Ashkelon. And the Gemara says, the Gemara tells a story. The rabbis of the Beis HaMikdash needed a precious stone for the Kohen's breastplate. And those stones were very, very expensive, and they knew that whatever price you asked, they paid it. So they came to Dama ben Nassina. They heard that his father, Nassina, had such a stone that they needed. So the Chachamim came to him, and they said to Dama, we want to buy the stone. He said, no problem, for sure. He comes back, he says, I'm sorry, I can't sell it to you. Why? His father was sleeping, and the key was underneath his pillow, and he didn't want to wake up his father. Can you imagine what an American kid would do today? They'll turn over the bed with the father, get the key, and go sell it. Dama ben Asina came back. Dama ben Asina came and said, he refused. Okay. So what did the Chachamim do? They went and bought this stone somewhere else. So Hashem rewarded him. That the next year, in his cattle, he had a paraduma, the red heifer, that also was the crazy price that the Chachamim paid for it, and he got back his money. So the Gemara says, and then the Gemara tells another story. Dama ben Athena's mother was cuckoo. She was mamish crazy. And he was sitting in a royal banquet with the dignitaries of Rome. You know, Rome, the real royalty. And his crazy mother came in and went over to him and spit in his face and ripped off his clothing. He didn't say a word. So the Gemara says, you see, this is how far the mitzvah of honoring a father and mother goes. You can even learn from the non-Jew, who's not even obligated, like a Jew is in the Ten Commandments, of honoring your father and mother. But there's an interesting question asked. L'mashal, they ask in this case, I once heard a very interesting educational word about this. L'mashal, there's a din, in halacha, you're not allowed to wake up your parents. It's not honoring your parents if you wake them up. If they're sleeping, you're not allowed to wake them up. But halacha says, what happens if your father falls asleep Shabbos afternoon, and it comes time for shul, and you know that your father wants to go to shul, you know that he wants to go to shul, so then you're allowed to wake him up. Why? Because that's what your father wants. Your father wants that you should wake him up.
So, how about if there is another reason for waking up, and a regular day for, but he has asked you to wake him up?
Oh, if he asks you to wake him up, then the mitzvah is to wake him up. So the din is, if you know for sure your father would want you to wake him up, you're allowed to. So the question is, there's no question, when they came to Dama ben Asina to buy the stone, what do you think, his father wouldn't want to be woken up? The question is, why didn't Dama ben Asina wake him up? According to Halacha, he should have woken him up, because that's what the father would want, to get up to be able to make such money on the stone. Why didn't he? So the answer, I once heard a guy speak in education. I mean, I read it somewhere. He says, this itself is what the Gemara is teaching us. The Gemara is teaching us that Dama ben Asina's father instilled within his children that there's something more important than money, and that is respect for parents. That itself is the greatness of the story. Yes, according to Halacha, he was able to wake him up. But the moral of the story is what this guy in Ashkelon, this Dama ben Asina, is teaching us, that his father taught him there's things more important than money. Honoring parents is more important than money. So it's a remarkable, you know, concept of what this, the mitzvah of Kabbalah, the Sevich of a Simecha is.
Dama
ben Asina, that was
Dama,
the name.
Blood?
Dama, it's Dama, the Dalim Mamalef.
Why didn't Yosef Asadi ask for Chirat?
He did.
So well, how come his death was forgiven, then how come his life was shortened by 10 years?
No, because he heard the way his father was called your servant, and he didn't protest.
Well, later he asked Machina.
Yeah, but it was, on his level, it was wrong for doing it even at that time. Okay. Next.
One more question.
Yeah.
This is the only mitzvah here, or the only command that explains why you should honor your father and mother, because your days will be extended.
That's not the reason. That's the reward.
Okay, that's the reward. Right.
The reward is l'man yarichon yomecha, that you're going to live long.
And does it include the same thing, avicha, is your biological parents or your adopted parents?
Biological parents. Yeah, I think we said it before you came in, but. The mitzvah is, even if the mitzvah, even if logic doesn't apply. Huh? No, I'm saying, the mitzvah of Kavya Zivicha Vesimach is your biological parents. Your adopted parents, you also have to respect, but it's not the same level of the mitzvah of Kavya Zivicha Vesimach. What?
He wants to know about the in-laws.
Rabbi, Jimmy has a question.
Well, you're not married yet, you don't know.
What's the question?
In-laws, mother-in-law.
I said before, you have an obligation to honor your in-laws.
You put him on top of your head.
Not as, no, he said, she wants to know if it's the same honor as you give your parents. No. But you better.
You got some more coming. What if they hate
you? Machat on him.
No, I mean, obviously, I mean, there's a whole interesting question. I mean, it's not so much, it's more, a lot has to do with common sense rather than lemoshel. This whole mitzvah of Kabbalah, Sevicha, Vesimecha, by the way, I don't want to dampen anybody's thing, but once a woman is married, her first obligation is to the husband and then to the parents. That's the halach. Even though it says the husband should allow her to respect and honor her parents, but the mitzvah comes, bottom line is, if a married woman's parent says one thing and the husband doesn't want, or vice versa, you know, the halach is you have to listen to the parent. I mean, to the husband, not, you have to listen to the husband. A married woman has to listen to the husband. Now, what happens, for instance, if the mother, the wife's parents are at the table? Okay? You have a husband, wife, kids, let's say, and the in-laws come.
I love this
shir. Who? This shir down.
Who should the wife serve first to? Her father? No, think. Her father or her husband.
Father. Use the plural.
Halachically, once she's married, she has to serve the husband first. But they usually try to come in with two plates at the same time. No, really. And put them both down together. Obviously, the husband should have some brains and, you know, tell her to serve her father. But let's say he doesn't. Or a lot of times the husband doesn't get along with his in-laws. It happens sometimes. He wants to be served first. So halachically, that's what has to be done. But you have a whole question like, Lamashul.
I know from where machoism is coming.
A parent comes. Let's say you're ahead of a family, yeah? You're ahead of a family, you always sit at the head of the table, and you have a wife and kids, and all typical Jewish family. And and the husband's parents come, let's say, the father comes. Who should sit at the head of the table?
What's the one? The husband.
There's no husband here. If you have a family, let's say I have a family, right? Okay. And then I sit at the head of, usually the man sits at the head of the table and everybody sits around, right? Now what happens if the man of the house's father and mother come for Shabbos? Who should sit at the head of the table? That is not necessarily true. He should give his father the place. Unless if there's two heads of the table, then one. But like for instance, if a father comes to a son for Shabbos, who should make Kiddush first?
The father,
because the son should have the respect.
What if the father's not religious?
That's a different story. So what? You still have to respect them. Sometimes they don't want to make Kiddush. You make Kiddush for them. I'm saying, what happens if both are going to make Kiddush? Who should make Kiddush first?
But the Baal HaBayis is sitting at the head of the table. He should give his seat up to his father.
Isn't that honor?
Yes. Sure.
Hello?
Yeah.
About father-in-laws, we'll discuss some other time. But I'm saying... But... I'm not saying no.
I think the father would probably...
No, but I'm saying... You understand what I'm saying? These are all part of this mitzvah.
Where's Marty? Is gone?
Yeah, it's past his bedtime.
So you're saying, let your father sit at the table.
I'm asking you, isn't that honoring your father and mother? That's what honoring your father and mother is. So that's what should be done. Just because it's your house... The halacha is you have to honor your father and mother. And we learned that no matter what you do is not going to be enough anyway.
Right, okay.
But you still have to do something. And then it says, just to finish this off a little bit, what does it mean, l'man yarichun yamecha? Because sometimes parents live long and they grow weary on the children because it sometimes becomes burdensome. Right? Especially if they're not well and they're aging. I mean, as older parents understand that that's the way it works. So the Torah says, if you honor them, even though it's burdensome, but nevertheless, you will be able to live long, and so to speak, you will be honored in the same way. But you know, there's a very famous worldly expression. One mother can take care of seven kids, but seven kids can't take care of one mother.
One last question.
Yeah?
The head rabbi comes to your house for Shabbos.
Yeah?
Big rabbi, visiting guest.
Ideally, you let him sit at the head of the table.
Give him enough money, they don't care what they say. Well, you don't have
that problem. Well, but what you could do is get a round table. By a round table, there's no head. There's no... Anyway.